we want project managers to at least set their thinking a year, a decade, a century beyond, which is really hard for us to do, beyond the ribbon cutting ceremony, and include the risks that take place after the project is turned over to operation. Include those in your planning. Just that single aspect of thinking will make you a better project manager.
I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Dan Smolin Podcast. We help people to navigate the future of work, to work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people and communities, and is fun to do, meaningful work. The stories that our guests tell and the insights that they provide will inspire you to connect with work and experiences that stoke your passions and make the world a better place. For the future of work is meaningful work. As we watched dramatic shifts in work behavior unfold during the pandemic, one insight popped out as truly meaningful. For many in the workforce, project leadership now drives future work. To discuss the growing importance of project leadership in future work, we turn to Rich Maltzman, who was a master lecturer in project management at Boston University. Rich is one of the world's leading project management authorities and the co-author of two books focused on green project management best practices that help people and companies drive positive triple bottom line results and social impacts. We cover a lot of ground in this episode, including what is involved in being a project manager and how the skill sets help people to be more intentional regardless of the work that they do. I spoke with Rich Maltzman in June 2021 over Zoom. Rich Maltzman, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here, Dan.
And it's great to see you, my friend.
Yes.
So for our listeners who don't remember my original podcast, which was called Green Suits Radio, Rich was one of my original guests. So it's great to see you. Let's get started. You are a globally recognized thought leader in project management. And for people who don't know what project management is or what project work is, how would you offer a description?
Sure, good question. Often asked, often improperly answered. I would say, first of all, the name itself is a misnomer. It's project leadership. Project management implies that we're kind of bossing people around, when in fact, most project managers don't have reporting employees. They have a temporary team. So it's project leadership. And I like to define it as inspiring others to get the right project work done right. So are you working on the right stuff? And are you doing that in the right way? Which implies a bit of supervision, but it also implies inspiration and it implies leadership, getting people excited about the work they're doing.
Now, when we first talked, you and I entered each other's sphere of influence because at the time I was recruiting into sustainability, placing people in sustainability and clean tech jobs. And you weren't in that space, but as a project manager, you wrote two books that talked about project leadership in clean tech and sustainability and social good areas. Why did you do that? Why did you write those books?
That's another great question. And I'd say that what we were focusing on was in a way the opposite direction. We were focusing on injecting the ideas of sustainability, the ideas of thinking holistically about your project, the ideas of long-term results of your project and impacts of your project back into the minds of project managers. Yes, of course, we were interested in promoting the idea of clean tech and green projects like establishing a solar farm or saving a species, but that was never our main intent. And this showed up in the way the publisher wanted us to have the book cover produced. They wanted windmills and daisies and children running through fields on the cover, implying that we were all about running green projects, meaning solar farms and wind farms and so forth. And again, that's fine, but we wanted to also talk to project managers who are writing new insurance interface software, or who were doing construction project management or finance project management, because guess what? Those projects also have impact on society, on the environment, on workers, on everyone around you, all kinds of stakeholders. And it's just good project management, project leadership practice to have a long-term holistic view. So our first book was, as required by the publisher, called Green Project Management. And it actually won the Literature Award from PMI. They have a Cleveland Literature Award, which is given every year. And we were, Dave Shirley and I, who wrote the book, were stunned that we won that award back in 2011. But guess what? Project managers did not have their ears on, as we say. They weren't listening to this. Why? Because they already have to manage scope and cost and time and get the project done within the budget and on time and get everything done. And so they saw the idea of thinking long-term and adding the element of sustainability as an extra burden. And there were, you know, obviously some people listened intently and bought into this, and others wrote to us and said things like, Rich, you're giving us another constraint. Why are you doing this to us? Mm. So the second book, Dan, that we wrote was called Driving Project Program and Portfolio Success. And for those who don't know the code words there, projects are kind of at the low level where you're, you know, getting a specific thing done, like adding a new feature to a gizmo. Whereas a program is a collection of projects that are managed together to get benefits you wouldn't get otherwise. Like maybe you're developing 5 electric cars, your General Motors, you're delivering the Volt and the Jolt and the Bolt, as an example. They share the same chassis, they share the same battery, they may share the same software and lighting systems. So it makes sense to manage them together. That's a program. And then at the highest level, we have portfolios, collections of programs and operations and projects. And we realized those are the people, the portfolio managers, the senior executives, those are the ones who kind of have to get this, get in the sense of, you know, to really understand this. And in the 10 years since 2011, we've seen and you've probably reported on this, we've seen a move towards this, where investment firms and financial firms, and just yesterday, I saw a post from the International Association of Accountants, and I know I have the name wrong, basically saying, and I'll send you the link, that accountants have to get into reporting sustainability in their balance sheets. So at the top, people get it. At the very bottom, you know, individuals get the fact, most of them get the fact that there are impacts to what they do every day. That's why you might have a recycling basket, for example. But kind of in the middle, the project managers who are focused on getting it done, getting it done, getting it done, saw this as a burden. So we wrote the second book that actually had some tools in it. We called it Sustainability Radar, that lets you as a senior manager assess what's the capability and maturity level of your project managers when it comes to this type of thinking. So rather than read you the books, that's basically the summary of those two books.
Well, I want to thank you for mentioning the second book, because you were generous enough to let me read the galleys of that book. And it was fantastic, that second book. You know, I remember 10 years ago when I was getting involved in sustainability recruitment, hiring managers were concerned about doing less bad. It was a very basic impact on project management. But we're so far beyond that. And you teed off on that. Just this past month, ExxonMobil's been rocked by the fact that they now have 3 people on their board of directors who are probably going to change the business model of ExxonMobil. And that's not just ExxonMobil. It's throughout the energy sectors. These companies are going to be transformed because it's not just a question of doing less bad. It's creating a sustainable business that is going to mitigate the impacts of climate change.
That's right. That's right. And I would say to those who are doubtful or cynical about these ideas of social and environmental responsibility, We have a big push on the economic part of the triple bottom line. It's also very much the job of a project manager to think about, let's assume it's a for-profit company, will your company be able to survive and produce profit for its shareholders in the long term? That's sustainability thinking too.
Right.
Because a company that's out of business has a decrepit old building that has to be destroyed. It has people who are laid off. It has other impacts. So we are all for pushing for economic sustainability and profit if it's a for-profit company, or just survivability if it's a nonprofit, just as much as these other elements of the triple bottom line. So don't look at us as people who are just trying to save the whales and save the snails, as George Carlin used to say. We are interested in that, but it's really in general about thinking through the end of the project. The last talks I've given, I just gave one to the Ireland National Project Management Conference, unfortunately, virtually, but I spoke to several hundred people there. And I titled the talk, you know, giving you permission to think through the end of your project, giving you a green light. So we want project managers to at least set their thinking a year, a decade, a century beyond, which is really hard for us to do, beyond the ribbon cutting ceremony, and include the risks that take place after the project is turned over to operation. Include those in your planning. Just that single aspect of thinking will make you a better project manager.
I know you came out of engineering before you Yes. became a bona fide project manager. And Yes. I think a lot of project managers in sustainability were like you. Engineers know how things work. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they're drawn into the operations of a corporation to Mm-hmm. make them work better,
Absolutely.
Make their products work better. But in the 10 years that we've just described, Rich, it feels like project leadership now includes a different kind of leadership, which is wrapped in intentionality, but also wrapped in all these other social vibes that we have to be concerned with. Companies are no longer just companies. They have important stakes in society.
That's right. Companies becoming more projectized, and project managers becoming more project leaders, is prevalent in all the literature. In our courseware at Boston University, we're integrating project leadership and communication in separate courses dedicated to that, but also weaving that into our basic master's level project management courses. And I don't want to make it just about our school. I happen to think we do a really good job there at doing this. And we have a faculty that's pretty leading edge there. But PMI, the Project Management Institute, IPMA, PRINCE2 certification, all these and ISO standards are more and more, to your point, talking about intentionality, talking about and specifying and standardizing on the idea that the projects need to account for longer term views, more holistic, wider views. And this is in the literature, and it's driven by both a bottom-up and a top-down push from people like these new board members at ExxonMobil, as well as a generation of people, millennials and others, who have been long time focused on what does this really mean to people? What does this mean to the planet? What's the impact of this coffee cup plastic container after I use it and I put it in my trash bin and it's not recyclable, to give one example.
So we talked about how project management has threaded through sustainability and made it really important in the C-suite. And then we come to 2020 and a pandemic, which forces all of us who were co-located in office space mm-hmm. to work from home, and then later maybe work from a remote location, you know, maybe a coffee shop or maybe a co-working type of setup. How has project management been affected by all this disruption? And to that end, Rich, how is project management going to impact future of work?
Well, I think that you could say, and we talked about this offline, and I think it's worthwhile bringing into the conversation here. The day-to-day work of people has become a project of its own, because you have For example, I'm just looking at both of us here on the video. We each have a, I don't know how fancy, but a nice microphone, and we have a setup with a larger screen and a room that's perhaps soundproofed except for ringing phones that you get once in a while. And we have to share that space perhaps with a spouse who's working or with kids who are doing homework. So even the allocation of resources in a home has now become very much of a projectized type of work. One of the things project managers do is allocate resources. When do the engineers show up? When does a permit have to be achieved? When do we have to finish coding this module? All of those answers to all of those questions are project style questions. So the talents, the knowledge, skills, abilities of a project manager are applicable, and more so because of the pandemic, in our day-to-day work. So I think the pandemic has changed things. For all of us, it's changed how we work and meet with colleagues. We don't get the same interpersonal feedback that we get in an office situation, in a factory situation with other people that we work with. And so we have to pick up on emotion and messaging from people without the extra important cues that we get from people when they're gesturing or even speaking, because sometimes email is the vehicle of choice, which I highly advise against. But if email is your choice of communication, there's a good chance there's a lot of extra noise and miscommunication because people's intent of the message is completely misunderstood due to slang, due to English as a second language, due to just plain old misinterpretation that would easily be caught if someone, you know, had a little chuckle or a smile or a wink or a nudge, 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 wink, wink, if that was said more in jest. But I think there's a huge impact of the pandemic on the workforce that does indeed bring project management knowledge, skills, and abilities into play.
We have time resources to manage. We have physical plant or physical location resources to manage. We also have interpersonal relationships to manage, especially in a virtual environment. You and I are, 550 miles away from each other.
That's right.
And that may become more the norm for a lot of companies that post-pandemic decide, you know what, we're going to cut back on the co-location square footage because we really don't need it. Rich is out there in Boston and he is really kicking it, working virtually. I want to see him every once in a while. So maybe we'll get together and the office will become a gathering point for big meetings and other types of collaborations. It feels though, coming out of this, we have to become more project mindful because that's what work is, right? It's not just a paycheck and a title anymore. When I started off in the workforce 40 some odd years ago, they would say, no man is an island. Well, I was an island. I had to be responsible for everything. Now we are very team focused and everybody has inputs and everybody has leverage. How do we get people who are not intentional about project management to adapt to some of these skills so that they are more successful in the future of work?
Well, you can't force someone into that mode,
right?
But I think the world is going to just demand it. And those who adapt and become more agile and become a little bit more recognizing of the fact that their work is project oriented will make a difference in their success. And so it's a little bit, I hate to put it this way, it's a little bit of survivability of the fittest. You know, in my introductory project management master's degree class, the first discussion we have, and it is, even in the face-to-face class, we do the discussion online. One of the things about our school is we have always bought into the idea that we should do some of our work online, even when we have face-to-face meetings. So we do our discussions online. And actually, there's a little nugget in there as well, because we have a lot of international students, and they're often shy about their accent. So speaking up in class is not necessarily their strength. And yet they have a lot to say. And they feel a lot more confident typing something they have to say in a chat window or in a discussion board, a threaded discussion, than they do in raising their hands. We have a lot of extroverted, experienced Americans whose hands go up right away and they contribute, you know, quite vocally in class. And it can actually be overpowering for the other students. Okay, so that was a tangent. Now we're coming back. The first discussion in this class is called Realizing You Were a Project Manager All Along. A lot of my students are taking the project management course as a prerequisite or as a required course for, let's say, finance or an insurance or a supply chain degree. I don't want them to feel like they're taking, you know, English 101 or some standard class that they just had to be on. I want them to appreciate this. So I asked them to step back, think about a wedding, a trip to South America, a new bathroom that they've added onto their house or adding solar panels to their house. Wasn't that a project? Right. Didn't you oversee the different resources? And it's amazing because, you know, almost everyone who isn't a project manager will have an aha moment. My wedding was a project. Yeah, my new three quarters bath decoration demo and redecoration project was a project. And now I just realized there's some terms and tools that you're providing that will help us. And now suddenly they're a little more interested in the class. So I enjoy that discussion. And I think the students, and when I say students here, it's really your listeners could be in their place, understand that project skills, leading a project, is going to be more important. As to how you can force people to get there, I think just looking at what companies are asking for, go on Indeed.com or LinkedIn or any job search site, type in project management skills or PMP, the Project Management Professional Certificate, and look at the number of jobs that come out. Some of them won't even have the title project manager. They'll be, you know, lead engineer. Well, guess what the word lead means?
Right.
It means that you're overseeing a group of people doing tasks that are necessary for a project. And oh, by the way, lead engineer is not a supervisor, doesn't have hiring and firing power, and yet is overseeing those tasks. Guess what? Title or not, you be a project manager at that point.
We talked about offline the old paradigm of work, which was, you know, output, and I work 8 hours a day minimum. I never worked 8 hours a day. I always worked 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
When I was in the advertising agency space, I would clock 80 hours a week. I don't know that anybody could sustain that, but it was really about output. How much can Dan get done?
Right.
Which is, in hindsight, really kind of crazy. The paradigm has shifted, right, Rich? It's no longer really just about output. It's about impact and focus, right?
Yes. In fact, a lot of my colleagues, I can give shout outs to a couple of groups here. There's a group called Responsible Project Management based in Bournemouth University. There's a colleague in Melbourne, Australia, Alexandra Chapman. People like Carlos Serra, who have written about portfolio management. A lot of my colleagues, and I'm proud to actually be introducing a course about this, but to your point, we are naturally, as project managers, and through our kind of DNA, focused on outputs, just like you said. You know, is the wall built? Is does the software work? Has user acceptance testing completed? We're focused this way. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we need to stay focused on outputs. There's no question about it. And the PMBOK guide, our Bible, our body of knowledge, the project management body of knowledge, has 49 processes, each of which have inputs, outputs, and tools and techniques. So we're very focused on output. But there's more than that. Outputs yield outcomes. So that software test passing is really an output that leads towards an overall turnover of our new app to the world and it being used. Now, if that app is being used, it's providing, let's say it sells, it's providing benefits, recurring benefits. People are paying a subscription fee or advertisers are paying to use to advertise on our platform. That's benefits. Recurring benefits is really what we're after, right? Not just the ribbon cutting ceremony, but the benefits. And continued benefits is what equals value. And this is real push in project management. The folks I've mentioned, for example, are all talking about value, not outputs, but outputs yielding outcomes, outcomes collecting benefits, and the net overall benefits, less any impacts, right? So less the impacts of environmental or social damage. That's what value is. And we're actually introducing a course at BU. I piloted it very successfully called Project Value Strategies. It's an advanced course. I'll provide you with a link to it. It got the highest scores I've ever received for basically the answer to the question, did you find that this course was enjoyable? You know, bottom line, overall class, I got like a 4.9 out of 5 on that class pilot. And so I'm really looking forward to offering that again in the fall. And its whole theme is around this idea of looking at value from a project management perspective. So yeah, it's a big deal. We do have to continue to look at outputs because there's nothing wrong with making sure that user acceptance test completes on August 17th. But there's also everything right with making sure that that user acceptance test leads to a successful launch of the product, your software, your app, and that it's really usable and that people are liking it and that people are downloading it and that it's providing you with the revenue that you expected from them, not just the launch itself.
Now, you're an educator now.
I am.
At Boston University, and you're working with master's candidates, right?
Mm-hmm.
In project management.
Yes.
So these folks are probably in their maybe early, mid, late 20s. They've gone through schooling,
mm-hmm.
and they've had some exposure to career tracks, right?
Yeah, I'd actually say what's interesting about the job and one of the things I like about it, which is also one of the things that drew me into project management, is my students, just like project teams, are very diverse. Yes, I do have a majority of students who are 22 to 25 years old, who are indeed pretty much fresh out of their undergraduate degree. But I have students who are 70 and 65.
Fabulous.
And a bunch of 40, 45, and who've worked in industry for decades. And so there's a lot of learning between students. But yeah, so to your point, they have a little bit of work experience, some of them. Some have a lot of learning experience, and that's always the best. The most fun I have as an instructor is when I can have a student jump in and say, that happened to me yesterday, right? So I will give an example of, maybe scope creep. You know, have you ever had a situation where, you know, someone came to and said, hey, can we just add this feature? And then someone will interrupt me and stop me, which I love. They'll say, Rich, just yesterday. And they'll tell a story, a short, hopefully, story, a real example of how this happened in their pharmaceutical company today. So there's a lot of really good learning at the master's degree and master's certificate. We provide both level in the interaction between students. And it's my job to basically facilitate that exchange as well as to, unfortunately for them, lecture sometimes.
So the reason I ask the question is I think often, you know, my role now, my thought leadership spans one's lifetime of learning. So, I mean, I talk about the dreams I had as a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old about career. I wasn't thinking about project management.
No one does. Very few do.
There's a nuance about that. Yeah, when you're 5 or 6 years, I mean, I wanted to be a garbage collector. I talked about that on the podcast. Why? Because everybody was having fun, right? Yeah. You know, they're throwing the garbage in the back of the truck. They're probably lubricated, but that's another story.
But you see the result of your work right away.
Right.
You got an empty barrel.
And as I got older, I was still, you know, thinking about hard targets. You know, I wanted to be an architect, and then I got talked out of it. And then I got into my first career track was broadcasting, and that was great. And that eventually got me into advertising and marketing. It wasn't until I was more mature in my career in direct marketing focused work where I became very attuned to project leadership. So my question to you, Rich, is the cohort you're dealing with the right cohort to start having these conversations about careers and project leadership? Or should we be having a conversation with younger people to get them thinking broadly about solving problems and maybe finding work? Maybe because we think of the end result, I hear people that say, you know, I want to work in a clean tech environment. I want to build wind turbines. I want to build solar arrays, especially now. I want to work on electric vehicles. That's cool, you know. Yes. But to get there, oftentimes, you have to rely on project management expertise. So my question is, and I don't know how you can answer this, how do you have that conversation? And can you have that conversation with younger people to get them thinking earlier on about a great career in this environment?
It's an interesting question because I'm, like many, I'm an accidental project manager. I don't know if you've heard the term, but that's a, in fact, project management is sometimes called the accidental career because people get tapped on the shoulder or grabbed by the shirt and pulled off stage, right?
To say, right. Hey,
we're gonna manage this project. So I agree that yes, when you say younger, I would actually say down to elementary school. At the elementary school, I'm not saying they need to learn how to use a Gantt chart or a RACI matrix when they're 5 years old. One of the things I do with students is I will play games. So this is a little jar of assembly toys. And we actually ask the students to build this. Well, first they have to decide how many builders they're going to use. And then they make an estimate as to how long it's going to take them. And then we have them do this assembly. We time them and find that they're off by usually 200%+. They're off by 2 or 3 times in terms of in being they're too optimistic. And right there, they learn some of the aspects of risk management. For example, do they really expect that every one of these little toy pieces is perfect? Well, no, incoming materials sometimes aren't perfect. And did you account for that? Did you take into account that all the teams will finish around the same time and come up for inspection? And there's only one instructor serving as the inspector, so there'll be a bottleneck. Now, again, I don't expect a five-year-old to get the concepts of estimation, risk, and bottleneck, but they will get the idea of teamwork. They will get the idea of, oh, I have to think a little more deeply about my, everyone makes estimates. Kids make estimates, right? You know, child is asked to clean their room. How long do you think it will take you to clean your room, right? Or there's definitely going to be times when, you know, you are dealing with uncertain information, weather, airplane flights, all kinds of things. And that attunedness, I just made that word up, at an earlier age, I think is a good idea. By the same token, or you could say on the flip side of that, I don't think it's a good idea for someone to start at a young age training to be a project manager and then to jump in being a project manager without the required bruises, scrapes, cuts, and bumps that you get from actually being in some practice area, whether it's an architect or a garbage collector or a finance manager or someone writing code. To me, you gain credibility by being in the field and doing something, whatever it is, so that you understand the nature of work. Jumping right into a project management position would be almost like, and this is a strange analogy, but almost like just someone training only to be a conductor of an orchestra.
Right.
Simply training to be a conductor and then jumping on the podium back to the audience and conducting the orchestra without ever having picked up an instrument.
And that conductor probably started as a concert master. And prior to being a concert master, they played violin.
Without that background, will the violinists really respect them, or will they intentionally play an extra note here and there or miss a beat? Because this conductor is just a theorist, right? It's just a person with a wand, right, you know, up there trying to conduct me. And who is he or she to conduct me when I'm a pretty darn good violin player? So again, if you'll go with my silly analogy, project managers are often a lot like conductors, and conductors gain respect and credibility and real experience because they played in an orchestra and they understand where there might be a potential problem between the woodwinds and the percussion instruments. And I know nothing about music other than I enjoy it, but that's the idea.
That's terrific. So I'm thinking about the listener to my podcast who is somehow stuck. They are languishing, right? You know, they're not falling apart, but they're not thriving either. Can project management be the means for them to reinvent their careers towards something purposeful? And can they, for instance, let's say they have a job doing, I don't know, administrative work. And you know what? They really want to be involved in corporate sustainability, but they don't have the certificates. They don't have maybe the PMI. Can project management, starting small and scaffolding,
Yes.
Help somebody to reinvent themselves with expanded and varied skills that they can use in a next job or two jobs down the line to be a project manager involved in solving all sorts of really amazing problems. What are your thoughts?
I would say unqualified yes. Absolutely yes. Project management knowledge, skills, and attributes would help in the scaffolding process. I can imagine someone who wants to work in, let's say, solar arrays, or let's take your other example, electric cars, getting involved in a, even if it's a volunteer or research type situation, to act as a project manager for that. Now, I have a little background with electric cars because I was involved with a project, to me, one of the best projects that illustrate industry, academia, and government working together. It's called EcoCar. And you can Google this. I can provide you the link for this. We were involved in doing the project management training for a while for EcoCar, for many years, actually. What is EcoCar? General Motors provides a, let's say, a Blazer to 15 different universities, brand new 2019, let's say, Blazer. University of Texas, Purdue University, various universities participate in this. They receive this brand new car for free. General Motors gives it to them. And then a group of engineers, mechanical, chemical, electrical, industrial engineers, typically, completely disassemble that car down to the last nut and bolt. Every single component is disassembled. And then their job is in 3 years, and with various known milestones, reassemble it as a hybrid or electric car that must meet the same criteria, acceleration, braking, everything else, as the original vehicle. So you can imagine, there's a little comedy here. You can imagine, right? Take Ohio State engineers, 30 of them. They've got a brand new Chevy Blazer in their garage. And you say, go for it. Well, what do you think happens? Without any project management, there's just piles of nuts, bolts, fenders, and wires everywhere. No coordination at all. But what they finally realized, especially the larger teams, Ohio State actually has won a few times, they consciously chose to have a project director and a project manager staff of two or three people whose job it was not to do, they never pick up a wrench, right? Their job was to, okay, we're going to have a cabinet over here for all small components. And another, they would organize this. And they would also deal with conflict because sometimes the chemical engineers and the mechanical engineers would have conflicts, or right. Even within the chemical engineers, they'd have conflicts about the way to do things, or my idea is the best, and my idea is the best. My point here, Dan, is that taking on an assignment like that in the field you're interested in, after gaining some project management knowledge, and I would recommend taking a certificate program at BU as an example, as a way to get that. In fact, we do sample projects in our classes, that you would find that as a scaffold, using your analogy, to get a job as an official paid project manager in the field, let's say, of electric vehicles. And in this program, by the way, and granted, top students were typically selected for it. All of them had jobs almost immediately lined up. I mean, even when they were in the midst of this program. And just to give you the closing on this, it was the Department of Energy, Argonne National Laboratories is the government sponsor. 25 years or more this program has been running. 15 or so universities and General Motors. Industry, government, academia, hand in hand. I brought it up only as an example of your scaffolding because these students aren't paid. And yet it's a great way for them to gain this experience. And in particular, the project managers picked up amazing knowledge. It's a real win-win. And I think illustrates the idea that you're talking about where people could scaffold by taking on a volunteer project.
Well, you have an interesting view, sir, of the future of work. And I agree, listening to you, project leadership is going to be a big part of that. And I thank you for your time today. Before we depart, Rich, I was wondering if you could point our listeners to some of your thought leadership.
I blog for a project management platform, which is called, simply enough, projectmanagement.com. If you go to projectmanagement.com, there's blogs along the top ribbon. And if you go into blogs, you'll see one blog called People, Planet, Profits, and Projects. My blog roughly three times a month. Pretty wacky topics. I think you'll enjoy them. They're a little out there. They're examples of green projects, but they're also examples of how a completely non-green project can take on the aspects of thinking long-term. For example, I had one great interview. So I'm also, in a way, a delayed podcaster. I had an interview with these two biochemists from bioengineers who have established a company that turns oil rigs into reefs. Oh, these ladies, they're scuba divers. They are videographers. They're degreed biochemists, as I mentioned. And I had this great conversation with them about the project of converting an unused oil rig into a very, very viable reef for sea life. Ironically, the oil rig legs that are now underwater make better reefs than natural habitats and more diverse species. So I'll have a blog post that's just about that. Also would point you to my courseware that I teach and others teach at BU. The master's degree program is quite good. It's ranked number one by some institutes. And we really, really enjoy teaching. All of the staff enjoys teaching project management to our folks.
Well, thanks, Rich. I hope we can get you back on soon because this area is really emerging. And I think a lot of our listeners will benefit greatly from becoming project leaders. Thank you so much for being
absolutely.
On the podcast.
I'll provide you with some links that will help them take this a little bit further should they be interested. My pleasure being here. Thank you.
Links to Rich Maltzman's social media are included in the show notes for this episode at dansmolin.com. Meantime, if you haven't done so, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you get them, or listen to current and past episodes on our website at dansmolin.com. And please take a moment to positively rate and comment wherever you listen to this podcast, because that helps us to connect with new listeners. I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Dan Smolin Podcast. Thank you for joining us on an amazing journey to the future of work doing meaningful work. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Let's connect again next week.